Turn your Bible with me to Romans 8, verse 18. All right, have you ever had a bad day? You never had a bad day. I can give it to you, bad days. In one of those things, one of those bad days, everything you can think of goes wrong. You know, it's one of those days, it's not worth getting out of your bed. You have it, I have it, of course. And I guarantee you that it's not the end of the last bad days. I'm sorry to say you, tell you this, there will be more to come. And you're thinking, Pastor, I didn't come here to hear that kind of bad news. Well, that's life. We all go through sufferings, varies from the big and small, and from traumatic thing to something that you can get over it and move on. And there we have, and then we have a suffering that comes from the natural disasters. For example, the hurricane coming, Gustav and Fay, coming to this from Caribbean. And we have earthquake, a flood, an avalanche. That's something we don't see around here, right? Earthquake, the wildfire, our elder Meryl Simon would love that kind of thing, and tornado and others. In the world, even the animals go through the sufferings. I'm sure you've seen this kind of scene, that cheetah chasing after a gazelle in Africa in one of those wild animal kingdom movies or programs. It is the survival of the fittest. Why are there so much suffering, so much tears, and so many deaths? And you wonder, can we just get along? The answer is absolutely not. You know why? Because you have a sinful nature. I have a sinful nature. We are selfish people. Even the best people in the world will think about themselves first, before they think about other people. Naturally, second question would be, is there any hope? The answer is yes. It is Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we have a hope, we have a love, we have a compassion, and we have a peace and joy and eternal glory. What we Christians are going through it is a lot like a birth pain. Now, I have no idea about the birth pain. My wife told me repeatedly, you will die several times before you even get the first taste of birth pain. I said, yes, that's correct. My wife has a great high tolerance in pain. When it comes to pain, I'm a total wuss. I'll be the first one to admit, I don't want any pain, period. But God bring it to me no matter what. See, mom who delivering child, they go through the greatest of all earthly pain until their child is born. When she has that baby in her arms, when she gazes into baby's eyes, guess what? She forgets all pains. She remembers none. Because why? She has inexpressible joy in our heart because of the newborn baby. By the way, let's make it very clear. Baby is a baby from the moment of a conception, whether you look at it scientifically or religiously. It's not, yeah. Contrary to the answer of some ignorant presidential candidate. Do you want me to name that person? Come see me afterward. This morning, Apostle Paul explained the reality associated with the birth pain of a Christian life. And we will start at verse 18 and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are most grateful that You choose us. We didn't choose You. You include us in our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. because Jesus' sacrifice. Holy Father, we come to you and seeking you, your truth, your wisdom for us to understand suffering, present suffering leads to the glory in heaven. Father, we also lift up our sister, Sally Klein, who just had the cancer surgery. We're asking you to touch her body. You're willing. You heal her completely with a miraculous power. Give her comfort and peace. Also, we are asking you to give a wisdom and courage to the president who is facing enormous tasks until the end of his term. And we're asking your hand to be upon the election. And you encourage the born-again Christian to go out and vote according to your way. And we pray for the safety of our troops and law enforcement personnel and the firefighters around this community. Pray this all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 18 of chapter 8, book of Romans. For I consider the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Apostle Paul was not ignorant nor blind to the suffering of a human experience. As a matter of fact, he himself experienced the suffering more than any one of us can imagine. You can read in the epistles, he's been flogged, he's been beaten up, he's been stoned. That's not smoking, anything like that. He was literally stoned, he's been shipwrecked, he's been robbed many times. He experienced many sufferings, yet he is telling us that he considered the future glory far outweighed present suffering. It is so easy for us to drag our feet in the suffering situation and focus on the earth, all the pains that we are experiencing instead of trusting God who sustains us. You might be going through the one of the most difficult time in your life, if not the most difficult time. It could be something that you are going through because a catastrophic illness changes your entire life. Or it could be a financial situation, tight financial situation, difficult financial situation, corner you like a pack of snarling wolves. Or it could be the difficult family situation that happened with a simple misunderstanding. Or you're about to lose your home because one of those many people because of the foreclosure. If that's not bad enough, you might facing legal action against you that you did not expect. The list can go on and on. I say, don't get discouraged. It's easy for me to say it, hard to do it. Don't think that I don't get discouraged. I get discouraged almost every Sunday afternoon, every Monday, because I wish I had done this, I should have done that, and I'm the worst enemy of myself. God knew those things would happen. He predicted them through Paul. Your suffering are the part of what makes us to be a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. So in the same way, the trials are a certainty in this for the believers in this life, and their rewards and the glorification in next life. This is a part of the package deal. Folks, you cannot just say, well, because I'm a Christian, I'll never go through a difficulty. If anybody tells you, you tell them and you're a liar. Bible does not promise that kind of thing. I know that some of the faith movement teachers said, once you become a Christian, everything will go hunky-dory. Find me one verse. Find me one verse in the Bible says that. That's a flat-out lie. God has a specific purpose for every trial he allows. If you are going through the trials, if you are going through suffering, folks, that was designated by God. He allowed it. In his great providential will, He allowed you to go through. He put the obstacle in our path to strengthen us, to test us, to humble us, to discipline us. But there are more reasons He allows suffering. It's much more attractive this time than all the other combined. He puts us through the suffering because it leads us to glory. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but a moment, is working for who? For us. For working for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It works for us. You may say, I'm not sure if I can handle this suffering, this trial, this test. Yes, you can. Because God will not allow you to go through more than you can. And even if there is an amount of things that you are allowed to go through, He also have a way of escape. So you may be able to bear under it. I find the three groans that mentioned in this study. First one is this creation groan, and believers groan, and the Holy Spirit groans. Let's look at the creation groans first in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits. Would you underline eagerly waits? For the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subject it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with the birth pang together until now. Suffering and dying are not permanent. A lot of people think that death is the end of it and that's it, so why not make the best of it in this life? No, this life is temporary. Maybe 70 years, maybe 120 years, but that's about it. But the true eternal life is to come. Bright new eternal world is waiting to be revealed. Now, I should underline the eagerly wait. The Greek word for eagerly wait is apektesmai. It's used 7 times in the New Testament. Each time it's used, it's related with Christ's returns. Apektesmai is related with Christ's return each time when it's used. Now, let me describe this to you. Let's say there's a brother who is 20 years old. He's coming back from Iraq war. And his younger brother, 6 years old younger brother, when the brother left to the war, he was 5. Now he didn't understand his brother is coming back. He's standing on the street corner and waiting for his brother. What would be that little boy's reaction? He would jump up and down, hands waving wildly, looking up and down the street and smiling. He could not keep the smile down. But his mom and, are we killing the kid? And his mom and dad would be kind of, you know, we are adults after all. We don't want to react like that. So they are more sophisticated people. So they kind of reading magazine, pretending they are not anxious to waiting for the son's return. Folks, the genuine return, genuine expectation is what the boys has. That's what we are supposed to do for the return of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that you all jump up and down waving your hands and giggle giddy about it. But with that same attitude, anxiously, eagerly waiting for the Jesus Christ's return. When God finished His creation in the 6 little days, creation days, it was a great creation. But today, now it's dying, and it's groaning creation. There is a suffering and death. There's a pain and all, which, of course, a result of Adam's sin. It is not the fault of creation, and the creation itself has not done anything wrong to God. Paul used to describe the condition of creation in suffering in verse 20, and the futility in verse 20, and the corruption and bondage in 21 and verse 22. Why did God allow all of creation to suffer? Because of human sin. It seems like doesn't sound fair for the rest of the world, and they didn't do anything wrong against God. You know why? I looked around. I was looking for the answers from all the commentary, and they come up with all these different things. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I believe this is true. Because the creation, the rest of creation, under the subjection to the human being. And you're asking me, can you back it up? Oh, yeah. Genesis chapter 1, please. You didn't expect that I would say that without the backing it up. Chapter 1, verse 26. While you're turning, let me say this to you. Can you imagine if the human is the only one go through suffering and die and decay, and the rest of the animals and the nature are doing fine without death? Who is the superior? Man or nature? Nature. But God said the rest of creation will be subject to the human. Verse 26 said, then God said, let us make man in our image. By the way, you might want to underline us and our image, because Jehovah's Witness says there is no Trinity. Well, there is. As far as I know, us and our is plural, not singular. According to our likeness, let them have a dominion over, there is, dominion over fish of the sea, and over the, that means you can have a sushi, right? Over the bird of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. However, groaning is not useless thing. Paul compared the woman's labor with that. All the pain of labor will end when the baby is delivered. One day creation will be delivered. And the groaning creation will become a glorious creation. We believers should not focus on the present sufferings, but rather we should look for the tomorrow's glory. By the way, if you look for something to hope, you're looking for the great things to come along, it's much easier for you to take the present sufferings. Let's go to, keep your finger in chapter 8 in Romans. Go to Isaiah 11, please. Where is Isaiah? New Testament? Right before Jeremiah, right? Isaiah 11, verse 6. Wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And you're thinking, uh-oh. How many of you guys have seen the picture of the lion and the lamb laying down side by side? And there's a quote saying the lion and the lamb will live together. That's not correct verse. According to the Isaiah 11:6, wolf and the lamb. And you're thinking, aha, pastor, you designed this. It's wrong. No, it's not wrong. This is different. It's the lion of the Judah and the Lamb of God. This is not about the Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. This is about Jesus. Let's go back to the verse 6. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. That's the big kitties, right? Cow and the bear shall graze, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat the straw like the ox. Can you imagine the next TV commercial during that time? Instead of having a picture of a California cow making cheese, we're going to have a California lion making cheese. Nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the winged child shall put his hands in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be the full of knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the seas. Now this time we're going to look at the believer's groan. Verse 23 of chapter 8 in the book of Romans, please. That is a beautiful scene to describe, isn't it? And that's what's going to happen on earth after redemption. Verse 23 of chapter 8. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruit of the Spirit, underline first fruit of the Spirit, please. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with the perseverance. Folks, we are stubborn people. Without pain, we would never feel the need to be saved. Without judgment passing against us, we would never know that we had trespassed God's standard. In this sense, we are like a sheep. We need to be prodded with a pain for our own safety. And the pain of living in a cursed world pushes us toward Christ. Note that what I just said. Pain of living in this cursed world should push us toward Christ. However, we make a choice. When we go through a difficult time, when we go through suffering, that suffering should make us run to God. But some people choose to run away from God. And they are the ones who always blame God, why are you doing this to me? While they're running away from God, when their back is turned toward God, how can they hear what God says to them? But when you run toward God, you can hear what God says to you. Our groaning is like those of pregnant women, as I mentioned, painful in the present time, but the hope of glorious outcome is expected. The pregnant woman received her baby, and we will receive a glorious heavenly inheritance that I am repeating again. Remember that, please. We Christians have tasted the blessing of the heavenly through heavenly blessing through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And you may say, what? What blessing? How about forgiveness? How about forgiveness of your sin and my sins? That is a taste of the heavenly blessing. This makes us to see the Lord Jesus all the more, receive a new body and live with Him and serve Him forever. Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3. I said you will have a new body. That means you are not going to put up, you don't have to worry about the calorie. You can eat all you want. And you are not going to gain 1 ounce. How about that? Verse 20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So meanwhile, we wait and hope. But what hope? What kind of hope? Let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus is right before the Philemon's, right? Right after the 2 Timothy, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and the Savior Jesus Christ. Looking for glorious appearing of our God Jesus Christ and Savior. Here's, and again, this is a great verse for you to note and make a note somewhere in your mind. Titus 2:13, when the Jehovah's Witness come by your home and knock on your door, and when they talk to you, Jesus Christ was a brother of Lucifer, and he's not God. This is the verse you can pull out. Jesus is God here, and he is a Savior. And don't let them tell you in Greek it's two different things. In Greek, it's the same person. Whenever they don't know how to answer, they always say, well, in Greek. I saw, for fun of it, I quote the Hebrew word. I was like, yeah, that's the Greek word. So, oh, yeah, that's the Greek word. If you are not waiting for the rapture by Jesus Christ, hear me, please. Hear me well. If you are not waiting for the rapture of Jesus Christ, then there's something wrong with your spiritual condition. There's two reasons why you would not wait for the rapture. Number one, you are not a born-again Christian. I said this, but I'm going to repeat it one more time. If you are not a born-again Christian, you are not a Christian at all. So don't pretend. And you may say, that's harsh. No, that's the fact. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Which part you don't understand? Unless you are born again Christian, you will not rapture. If the Jesus come down from heaven right now, he come down with a loud trumpet noise and with a shout of archangels, and cloud will roll back, and dead in Christ will rise first. And we will cut up in the air with him. When that happens in split seconds, if you are not born again Christian, you will be left behind. And the rest of us will be gone. And the second situation is, if you have something else in your heart other than Jesus Christ as God. I'm not going to go there whether you're saved or not saved. I'm not going to go there. You know your own heart. If you have anything other than Jesus Christ as Savior in your heart, for example, it can be your IRA, it can be a job, it can be a spouse, whatever that is. If you have anything other than Jesus Christ in your heart as a Savior, then you will be left behind. It is no wonder why you are not looking forward to that day. Each morning when you get up of your bed and before you put your feet touch the ground, you should ask God, is this the day that we're going to see you? Like that little child anxiously waiting for some brother to return. We are anxiously waiting for our big brother, Jesus Christ, to return. And you may say, well, you have such an escape mentality. Oh, yeah, I do have a major escape mentality. I have so much escape mentality, I'm already there. I'm so there. I'll be up there in the first ride. If you like this decaying, dying world, by all means, stay behind. See what happened to you. Do you want to take a chance like that? There is the Holy Spirit groans. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with a groaning which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to, underline, will of mine, right? Will of somebody else. What does it say? Will of God. According to will of God. Creation groans, believers groan, and the Holy Spirit groans. which means that he prayed for us to the Father when we are too much in pain to pray. We cannot even come up with enough voice to pray to him because we are numb or we are facing tragedy. We may not even have enough strength to lift our face to heavenward and praying to God and even say, "Oh God." That's the time Holy Spirit who lives in our heart intercedes for us. Let me put it this way. When you're a kid, you play hard and you hurt yourself and you're crying. What happened? Your mom came along. Your mom came along. She put her loving arms around you and close to her bosom. While you're still sobbing, she speaks to you gently with her soothing voice and stroke your hair. And maybe she even sang to you and she prayed for you. All of a sudden, you still have that wound is still there, but all of a sudden, that wound is not hurting that bad anymore. What happened? Now you can endure. It's the same thing for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one who taught moms how to do that kind of thing because he's been doing that to all the Christians. When we go through a difficult life, Holy Spirit, who lives in our heart, embrace us, bring us close to him, and he speaks to us gently, and he prays for us. He intercedes for us to the Father in heaven. And he who knows all heart knows what the Spirit is speaking. And he prayed for us, he interceded us, and he soothed our heart. He smoothed our heart. And so you are, your heart is renewed by his love, and you receive a new strength by his presence. And you are encouraged by his faithfulness. God is concerned about your suffering and the trials. When Jesus was ministering on the earth, according to John chapter 11, verse 33, when he saw the suffering of people, he groaned. He groaned. We do not always know God's will. We do not always know how to pray. But the Spirit intercedes so that we might live in the will of God in spite of suffering. Holy Spirit shared his burden with us. That's a comfort, folks. Tell me, give me one God other than our God who do that kind of thing. There's no other God like our God. Let's make an application. Number one, suffering we have to endure in this life cannot be compared with the eternal glory we will share with Jesus in heaven. Think about it. So while you're going through a difficult time, if you're never going through a difficult time, something is wrong with you. Number two, pain of living in the cursed world should push us toward Christ, and our hope of ultimate redemption and a renewed world help us endure. Third application, the Spirit intercedes so that we might live in the will of God in spite of suffering. Holy Spirit, share the burden. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Let us remember the blessed hope and eternal glory while we go through a difficult time. We thank you and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.